In the meantime, have you set any New Year's resolutions? Have you perhaps broken some already? Are you the kind of person who sets specific goals for every year and neatly ticks them off as you achieve them? Or are you more like me and kind of meander through life, having a nice time, but without having really anything specific to focus on? Andrew Halfacre from Braintree has written a book that could change all that. He's a freelance trainer. He specialises in working with people who'd like to leave their job and set up their own business. His book is called First Know What You Want: Why Goals Don't Work and How to Make Them. And I'm pleased to say that Andrew's joined me in the studio. Thanks for coming in today, Andrew.
Hi,
appreciate that. I'm sorry I called you McFarlane earlier.
That's right.
I have no idea where that came from. I completely made it up. But there you go. It's a good second surname if ever you need one.
Thanks very much. I'll use it.
Tell us about the book then. Where did it stem from?
Well, I think if you're thinking about New Year, there are two problems, aren't there? Or two different ways of thinking about New Year. You either know what you want, but you don't know how to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know you want to be a better golfer, or you know you want a better marriage, or you know you want to learn French, but you don't know how. And there's loads and loads and loads of help for that. If you know what you want, but you don't know how, there's help everywhere. But the second problem is you don't know what you want in the first place. And that's why I wrote the book, really. It's really aimed at those people that don't know what it is they want, or can't work it out, or struggle to get clear about what they want.
So they might have a sort of niggling feeling of dissatisfaction with their lot.
Yeah, it's a way. I describe it sometimes as you might have. There's someone scratching at the window of your life, trying to get attention. So you know there's something, but you don't know exactly what it is. And that's why I wrote the book, to help you with that.
I also liked your analogy to do with being on the bus as well. You know, are you the bus driver or are you the passenger?
Yeah, if your life was a bus, are you a driver or are you a passenger? I think many of us are passengers. You know, we sit in the back of the bus and we moan and whine and complain about where the bus is going, but we never do anything about it.
So the actual process of sitting down and writing the book, how did that come about? Because obviously you set yourself a goal, didn't you?
I did set myself a goal. Yeah, it's been a 10-year goal, actually. I had a goal to be published a long, long time ago. What happened was I was doing, probably about 6 or 7 years ago, I was doing a seminar for young managers about goal setting. And I was droning on and on and on about the power of goal setting and writing it down and making smart goals and all that sort of thing. And I could see I was losing everybody. I was losing everybody's attention, perhaps as I am now.
No. I have to check other screens to make sure nothing exciting is happening. Bear with me, yes.
And so I stopped. I said, what's wrong? And they said, well, Andrew, this is fantastic. All this goal setting stuff is really, really good. But we don't know what we want. You know, how can we set a goal for 2 years' time if we don't know what we want? And I thought, it never occurred to me that that was a real problem. So I went away and I thought, I came up with 4 or 5 quick ways to figure out what you want. And then I discovered that more and more and more people have this exact problem. And eventually a friend of mine said, well, why don't you put them all together in a book and publish it? So there you are.
There's a lot of detail in here.
Dipping book.
It's a great read, and you can tell that if I haven't read it from cover to cover, but if you read it from cover to cover, you'd definitely get something out of it. I mean, even, you know, just open it and look, and it says things that I need to do before I go to sleep tonight, things that I need to do by the end of the week, things that it's not
like a novel where you start at page one and finish at the end. It's a dipping book. So what I decided to do was find 12 really different ways of figuring out what you want. So I tried to find things that would suit people who like intuitive or feeling-based things. And also there's stuff in there for people who like checklists and like writing lists. So of those 12, you'll find 2 or 3 that will be really helpful, and the rest you can just leave. So it's a book you can dip in and out of.
Can people change themselves?
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely.
Can they change the way they do things?
Yep. We'll do it all the time.
Really?
Yeah, we're going to see it this year, aren't we? We're going to see people who've trained for years and years and years to bring themselves to a peak of performance. It's perfectly possible.
Is this a kind of golden ticket to riches and wealth and
no,
happiness?
No, it's not. It's not one of those kind of self-help books where I promise that the universe is going to move in your direction. It's practical and it's hard-hitting, and it's about it's about getting you absolutely clear about what you want to do and how you want to do it.
What is this about polar bears? There's a polar bear on the front page, and there's an actual section that's relating to polar bears. Do they know what they want?
Polar bears is about joy. So about 30-odd years ago, probably far too many years to mention, I went to a big zoo, and there was a single polar bear in a horrible, scruffy concrete enclosure with a grey, scummy moat at the front to stop him leaping out at the people. He was on his own, and there was a hole in the concrete at the back, which was obviously some sort of den.
Mm.
He was walking up and down the enclosure, and when he got to the side, he'd bash his head on the side, and then he'd walk the other end and bash his head at the other end. The thing was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He had cage fever. He was depressed. It made a huge impact on me when I was 8 or 9 years old. If you'd found the same polar bear in his natural environment, you'd see joy. And the same thing with humans. If you see humans out of place, in the wrong place where they don't fit, you get destructive behaviour.
Mm.
I mean, imagine what happens when you shut a young human in a room that's beige, breathing recycled air, with furniture that's grey or stainless steel and a carpet that's green. I mean, you go and find that human in 10 years' time, what's happened to their creativity, what's happened to their imagination, what's happened to their ability to think differently about what they want? It's kind of died, isn't it? So I think the polar bear reminds me that you have to find the place where you're the most joyful. And if you can find the place where you're the most joyful, then it's fantastic.
You talk about toward people,
yeah,
and away from people.
So how do you get up in the morning? So you'll either get up in the morning as a towards person, so you'll spring awake and you'll think, God, I can't wait to get on with my day because there's all these things I want to do, and then you're up and about. They're towards people. Very annoying. Then there's the away from people, perhaps a bit like me, and what happens with away from people is you're motivated by pain. So you'll lie there and lie there and lie there and lie there until the pain of lying there is bigger than the pain of getting up. And then suddenly you're there. Now, the problem with being an away-from person, yeah, is you're always reversing. So it's like driving, but only looking in the rearview mirror. So I don't like this job, OK, reverse out. I don't like this relationship, reverse out. I don't like what's on television, OK, reverse away. The problem with that is it's really slow and it's really boring to get to where you want. I mean, imagine going to work tomorrow morning, but only by thinking about what you didn't want. You say, well, I don't want to go to Scotland, I don't want to go to France, I don't want to play in the park, I don't want to go shopping. Eventually you'd end up at work, but it'd take years. It's much, much, much quicker to say, OK, where do I want to go, than to say, what do I want to move away from?
Ritter, you were nodding somewhere through.
Well, yes. I wake up to the Today programme on Radio 4, sorry, not BBC Essex. And yeah, that's a bit of a problem because I like to listen to it and that doesn't help me to get out of bed. So yeah. I'm definitely in a way from...
Yeah, you wait for the pain to get big enough.
See, I think I set myself too many goals for every day and then I feel very disappointed at the end of the day because I haven't achieved all these things.
Yeah, when I see that, it's usually a symptom of either your goals are too big,
yeah,
in other words, they're too chunky,
yeah,
or there's too many of them.
Yeah.
And my advice all the time with those kind of thing is smaller goals.
Yeah.
So you get in the habit of overperforming. It's far better to set yourself 5 goals and get all 5 than set yourself 10 and do 5.
Hmm. See, I feel very disappointed if I haven't kind of redecorated the spare room and put all the things in the loft and actually sorted out the things in the loft that I was going to sort out. And
how many years have you had those goals?
Well, we've lived in our house that we live in now for over a year and I've been aiming to sort out the loft probably every day since we moved in.
Yeah.
So about 370-something.
Yeah, got to do something different now.
Get someone in to do it for you. Is there a fine line between being a trainer, such as you are, a freelance trainer, and being a psychologist? Because you have to suss people out, don't you?
I think people are people. Wherever you find them and whatever they do, people are people. And I think... what I like doing is asking good questions, because I think if you ask people the right question, they'll solve their own problem. So it's not about magic wands or being a psychologist, it's just about knowing what questions to ask.
What are you hoping for the book, Andrew? I mean, obviously you hope to sell lots and lots of copies, but what are your hopes deep down for it?
Well, if you go to the website, you can download for free all the exercises from the book, and I call it the First No Journal. So that means you don't have to write in the book or you don't have to write on your Kindle version if you buy it on the Kindle.
It could be messy, couldn't it, writing
on the Kindle? Writing on the Kindle. And what I hope is that those ideas will spread. I hope that you'll develop the habit of working out what you really want. Because here's the thing, right? Everybody's got an agenda. TB programme's got an agenda, manufacturer's got an agenda, retailer's got an agenda, even the dear old BBC has an agenda. If you don't have an agenda, you'll end up working on somebody else's. If you don't know what you want, you'll end up working for someone who does. And I think that's a shame. And I think you could go for a long, long time and end up regretting that. So why not work it out? Why not decide what your agenda is? Why not work out for yourself at last what it is you really want, and then go do it.
Your day job, if we can call it that, because I know you've been busy writing the book, but the other part of your life is being a trainer in your local area in Braintree.
Yeah, I work at the Corner House in Braintree, which is a fantastic place. It's a non-profit, and they provide free start-up advice for people interested in starting a business. And honestly, if you want to start a business in 2012 and you're looking for some free advice from people who are not going to charge you by telling you all the insider secrets about tax and how to set yourself up properly and think about your customers, please come to the Corner House in Braintree. We would love to help you with that. It's a fantastic, very, very friendly place.
Now, I know a lot of similar organisations are struggling in the current economic climate. You're OK for the minute, obviously.
We're hanging on by our fingernails. I think the important thing to remember is if someone moves from Job Seekers Allowance to starting their own business, that saves the local economy a vast amount of money. And not only that, that person recovers their self-esteem and they get some direction and purpose, and they may go on to employ other people. So my view is it's fantastically valuable to provide an easy path for people to start businesses.
Have you worked out what you want, Andrew?
Yes.
Can you divulge a little of it? We don't need any personal details, I'm sure.
Let me give you a tip instead of talking about me. So here's a tip for everybody. I had a client about a month ago who was trying to work out what he really wanted with his business. And I asked him to describe to me his perfect day. I said, if you could have a perfect day, if everything could go exactly the way you wanted it, what would you do? He couldn't do it. And he couldn't do it because he'd never ever been given permission to think, oh, I could have a perfect day, or he'd never ever thought that it was OK to have a perfect day. So my tip for 2012 would be, why don't you figure out what a perfect day would be, or what two or three versions of a perfect day would be, and then figure out what's the first couple of things you need to do to get towards that. So for me, I have two or three different versions of a perfect day. Like one of my perfect days would involve being alone with a laptop all day writing. Mm-hmm. That's my idea of heaven. I know that'd be some other people's idea of hell. Another version of my perfect day would be seeing clients all day. I love doing that. And I've got two or three others as well. What's yours?
That's talking to you on the radio,
yeah,
Andrew.
Of course. So you're going to invite me back then.
Need I say more?
That's what I love.
Listen, great to have you in.
Thank you.
Hope it goes really, really well. Well, where can we get hold of this?
It's on Amazon.
Okay.
You can get the Kindle version. There's a free download at the website. The website is the name of the book, so firstknowwhatyouwant.com. Go there, grab your free journal, have a look on Amazon, search for my name or the name of the book, and you'll find it.
Another book in the pipeline, or not yet?
Yeah, it's on its way.
Okay. Brilliant. Well, we'll see you again when that happens.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Cheers, for coming everyone. In. Andrew Halfacre, the author of First Know What You Want. Some great advice in there. I'm going to have a little flick through this at home this evening. It's 3:15 now.